Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Mike McFarland. What's up, Mac? How are you?
We are inching closer, ever so closer to actual baseball games.
Have you watched any of the footage from the inter-squad games that have been going on at Kauffman Stadium at all? Any of the I was geeking out. I think the boys were making fun of me for geeking out about watching Bobby Witt Jr. play some third base and get a hit, and then I saw Brady Singer pitching, and then I got mad because he hit Hunter Dozier. Then I was happy because Hunter Dozier was okay, but I was getting all fired up for an inter-squad game, Mac. That's where I am right now.
I'm with you. And the best part about it, the Royals are promoting the hell out of it with the little snippets of videos and things like that showing, you know, Bobby Witt's swing and it's a lot of it's a good time to see a lot of these young players. And I think the Royals are doing a great job of promoting it and showing what it's going to be like. You know, just when we do get to the games, open up the on-field mics, put a little warning and label out there, maybe a 30-second delay, tape delay because of the language. Have each team have their extra players, maybe just the starting nine in on the bench, and then the rest of them sitting in the first couple rows and just have a rag fest. Just let them go to town on the opposing team and mic all that up. It would be outstanding entertainment. The game might actually be secondary to the commentary from the ragging of the players. I think it'd be great.
Okay, would you like that? Or what about this idea? Mike Boddicker mic'd up sitting in a section by himself complaining about everything.
You talk about Captain Miserable there talking about the good old days of ball and right. The dead ball era in
right.
The 30s. No one wants to hear that.
Tell me you wouldn't crank up the volume at least for a couple innings for that.
It's drinking his sarsaparilla and going on his fifth hot dog, and you know, the old Joe Morgan. Back when I played, we used to, you know, those commentaries. So that would get old quick.
And the first time someone mentions pitch count, then Mike's head just explodes. And
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
So okay, I mentioned Singer, and look, I get it. They got a whole team that you know that we're going to focus on, and guys are going to be out there. But I am paying extra attention to the prospects and guys I haven't seen before. And I mentioned Singer, and I was listening to Mike Matheny talk about him, and I look, hey. He had no problems with him hitting Dozier. Obviously, he's glad Dozier's okay, but he said Singer's got to pitch inside. He's got to have that mentality if he's going to be successful at the major league level. And so do you think we could see him right off the bat? Do you think maybe later on? How do you think – because it seems like he's the closest of all the prospects, of all the pitching prospects. How do you think they're going to use him? What do you think the plan should be for Brady Singer? Because I'm really excited to watch him.
Well, the kid's pitching for innings coming up. I mean, hell yeah, this is his chance to show something. Because the first person I'm going to say, hey, what do you think of Singer stuff, are the hitters that faced him in inter-squad. And they're like, not real comfortable stepping in the box against this kid. You know, those type of things are what you want to hear as a manager from some of your best hitters. So, boy, his ball's got action. His ball does that. We have some pretty damn good hitters on this team, and if they're telling that this guy's got filthy stuff, Singer's out there working his butt off, I'm more prone to put him on that starting slot and see what he can do. I just don't want them to sit and do nothing but throw simulated games while everyone's on the road. I want to see these kids get a chance in this, you know, you can call it a throwaway season, even though I don't think so. It is what it is. Here's the rules. Here's the guidelines. Everybody's playing by the same rules. Let us see what he can do. And then move into 2021 with them having a few games under their belt, even though it's going to feel like you're on field six on the backfield at a spring training complex. but you're still in a big league park. You're still facing major league hitters. Let's see what he can do to move himself forward, give him some innings. All of those kids, in my opinion, deserve a chance to get a few innings and go from there.
So, Mac, one of the things I heard Mike Matheny talking about this week is how difficult it can be to generate the type of energy that would replicate a Major League Baseball game when you're having an inter-squad workout in an empty stadium. We also hear a lot about spring training and how much of it is necessary in terms of playing those games to get guys ready for the season, and how much of it is really to sell tickets and make some money during spring training. This is obviously such an unprecedented situation. You're going up against other big leaguers or at least advanced minor league players when you play these inter-squad games. Is it possible to get close to being ready by just playing against yourselves every day like they do in other sports? Or is it going to be a lot different? Are they going to be not nearly as prepared for this season because they aren't playing spring training games against other teams?
Well, everybody's in the same boat, so it's going to be hard to tell, which I think is going to be, if you have a young, hungry team like we do here in Kansas City, as opposed to, you know, average age 30, 31 on some of these other veteran teams, entirely different. You can feed off the energy of these young kids. You are playing major league games. You are being paid. You are trying to set yourself up for the future. They're going to take it. They'll find ways to get themselves fired up and ready to go. You have no other choice if you're a young player trying to establish yourself. You know, the difference is going to be the older players and how they respond to it. You know, I've heard some major league players say, hell, I have a hard enough time getting ready and fired up playing in front of 20,000 people. How am I going to get fired up in front of 20? So it's going to be tough for some of those old guys. They're going to feel like they're going through the motions and finding themselves in a spring training rut. But the difference is you're in major league ballparks now. Yes, spring training is way too long, but you also have to understand the amount of money that these cities that house the spring training events and how much money they have put into it. You understand that. But the difference is you're getting four or five at-bats in this game. You're not getting two, going home, getting in the pool, playing with your kids like you do in spring training.
Mike McFarland is our guest. Mac, we were talking to J.J. Piccolo yesterday, and we asked him what he thought so far of the summer camp, as they call it, and he said everything has gone better than expectation, and they've had some conversations about, you know, maybe they should do something like this every year, because the opportunity, and you know, he talked about how when a first-round pick comes in for the press conference, gets a visit, Kauffman Stadium, you know, take a tour and take some pictures, and that's it. But the opportunity for these young kids to come up and maybe just do it for a week, where they bring up the top prospects and they have workouts with the major leaguers and some inter-squad games for a week or two every year to kind of get them acclimated, to show them what the goal is, to get them used to the ballpark. I thought that was kind of an interesting idea from J.J. Piccolo, and it sounds like they're discussing that. There's a lot of value to that for a young ball player to get a chance to not only mix and mingle with the major leaguers, but to get out there and kind of test themselves against the major league players in the ballpark they hope to make it to someday.
Oh, what a great idea. If they are at home, you work them out during the morning, early afternoon, then you have them, you know, shag and see the day-to-day routine that veteran major leaguers get into and how they approach their job and their business on a daily basis, and kind of show them what it's like. Then you throw their butts up into the stands and have them watch a big league game. And wow, I was just on that field, you know, a couple hours ago with all of these guys that are playing this game. And wow, the speed of this game is a hell of a lot faster than I remember in college. I think it's a tremendous idea. And even if they're on the road, have them come and work out just to get them into that atmosphere. I was very fortunate when I signed with the Royals. The Royals were in Oakland, and I got to put on a big league uniform. I got to go take pregame batting practice with the big league team. They threw me in there. got this back when they took infield, outfield. Yes, I'm that old. take infield, outfield with them. I left that place wanting to bleed royal blue the rest of my life, which I have. Just unbelievably excited to get my professional career started so I could be a part of this on a daily basis. It was a huge influence on me when, you know, John Schuerholz was the GM then, and my family was there. The scout that signed me was there. I was just on cloud nine watching and being on the field that I watched growing up as a kid, going to a ton of A's and Giants games. I was ready to go and do whatever I had to do to legitimize the draft pick that the Royals took on me.
Do you remember who the first guy was you interacted with as far as on the major league team, or anyone that you were excited to meet or nervous to meet? What do you remember about interacting with some guys that were already on the squad?
No, John Wathan was the first one up there, and you know, just being around him and talking to him and Frank White, you know, and then I'm like, oh my God, there's George and Willie Wilson, and I'm like just peeing my pants because I felt embarrassed to be wearing the same uniform as those guys. Let's put it that way. It's like, well, I don't deserve this, and blah blah blah. And then I hit one out in BP, and you know they were ragging on the other catchers that were there. You haven't hit one out all year, and this kid comes in and goes deep in BP right off the bat. So then I felt bad. So then I decided to get jammed the next six swings so I could fit in. But no, it was. I mean,
what a sacrifice you made, Mac. That's so nice of you.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you know, team player. So it was tremendous.
You're like you said, you're on cloud nine, and you know, and that's you're talking about some star power there at that point when you got Frank White and Willie Wilson and George Brett walking around. I mean, and that's such a great idea, and that's why I was so interested when JJ was talking about that yesterday. You could absolutely see how that could motivate a kid and really give them an early glimpse of what the top of the mountain looks like. You know?
It's who and what the Royals have always been about. I mean, it has been about the kids and their development and playing. You know, you just read some of the quotes coming out of the kids that signed from, you know, that after the fifth round and how they feel like they've been treated already. When Dayton came in and the culture changed and you started having success with your first round picks, you started hitting some home runs with those selections, and you heard about Moose and Haas and Salvi and those guys and how they were treated coming up through the organization, that stuff spreads. I mean, it gets around baseball and talking about how they treat their players right and do what's right by the player. And then you come into this community and get acclimated and you settle. I mean, there's a crap load of ball players from every organization that live in this town, but the former Royals that settle here, loving the people and the way of life and the community, it just breeds that fever that gets going. And trust me, they know it in New York, they know it in California. You don't get the same press, but your level of comfort of playing in front of fantastic fans in the city that you live in here, they know about it, and it has become one of those places. Yeah, and I may get paid a little bit less, but I can go over to that organization in that city that loves their team. You know, they're not going to have 50,000 every night, but they're going to be behind you through thick and thin. It goes a long way, especially in the mind of a veteran player that wants to come in, give back to the game, mentor some of those younger players. Those are the things that you see, and that's where, you know, you get the diamonds in the rough that are at the end of their career, but find a little extra gear because of the energy they feel playing in Kansas City.
Mac, always great talking to you. Baseball is getting closer, man. I just cannot wait. Mac, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, stay cool, boys.
Well, that's right. It's hotter than hell. I'd like to invite you guys to, during the commercial break, to look at the retweet that I had of the giant stingrays swimming by people in the water, and then apparently someone who was either the most sunburned person in the history of man, or some people suggested it was actually Hellboy swimming around.
Yeah.
Or Satan himself. I don't know.
It looked like Hellboy.
It's a human lobster.
You know, I'm watching these giant stingrays, and like, wait a minute, this guy, I think this guy forgot his sunblock. I'm not sure. And so that was... Stingrays that look like perhaps the least of his problems, but I love talking to Mike McFarland. Mac's awesome.
Awesome.
I like the fact that he hit a home run and then immediately Brett and Frank White and Wilson started giving grief to the catchers on the roster that they haven't hit a home run all year long. That's a great way for the other catchers to wrap their arms around you. All right, kid, making me look bad now. And Mac ends up, you know what? Being a hell of a hitter and a hell of a catcher for the Royals for a long time. That's Mike McFarland up next. You know who it is. What's his name, Jake? Name
Gary change. Lozak.
Gary Lozak.
Get low.
Joins us.
Get low.
Nate Bucati is going to ask Gary why his name is Lozak after this on WHB. Mm.